Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
Two heavenly visitors had come to the city. They were angels, messengers of God, sent by God to Sodom. For a cry, a clamor had risen before the Lord, an outcry against the city, against Sodom. A cry of injustice, a cry of the oppressed, a cry of the victimized, a cry of the widow and the orphan, an outcry against sin. For the sin of the city was grave, significant. And the Lord sent these two angels, these two messengers, to investigate, to see. And as they entered the city, they were welcomed by one, received by one, a man named Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Lot had traveled with his uncle out of the city of Ur into Canaan. And like his uncle, Lot had been blessed by God, blessed with wealth, blessed with flocks, and blessed with herds, so much so that he and his uncle had to part ways. They had to find more land. It was just too crowded for both of them. And so Lot went east. Lot went into the Jordan Valley. He thought it looked like paradise, like Eden. And Lot settled near the city of Sodom. Now, years have passed, and in our passage, we find him no longer living in tents near Sodom, but living in the city, sitting at the gate of the city. When the ancient world elders and officials sat at the city gate, at the city gate, they would discuss local affairs. At the city gate, they would judge disputes between citizens. Lot's presence at the gate indicates that he not only lives in Sodom, dwells in Sodom, but he has become a leader of the city. Upon seeing these angelic visitors who appear as men, Lot and Lot alone welcome them. Lot and Lot alone bow before them, honors them. He invites them to his home, and he offers them lodging for the night. When the ancient Near East, and even today in that culture, hospitality has an almost sacred quality to it. It's an almost sacred duty. When the visitors refuse his offer, Lot not only insists, but he strongly insists. He presses them, so they go to his home. And there he provides a meal for his guests. Now, the Hebrew word used here for meal also refers to a banquet. As a host, Lot offers his best. But before they turn in for the night, there's a racket outside of the house, the sound of voices, many voices all around the house. For men of the city, young and old men of the city, have surrounded the house. They beat on the door, and they demand that Lot's visitors be brought out. Now, even though Lot was the only one to actually welcome these visitors, offer hospitality to these visitors, they were noticed. They were observed. And now men of the city demand that they be brought out. Why? So that they might know them. Now, this is not a demand to get acquainted. This is not a desire to hear their story. This Hebrew word translated know can mean sexual knowledge. Lot refuses their request. Lot stands outside of his door between the men and his guests, between the men and his home, and he tries to reason with them. And then Lot does the unthinkable, the unconscionable. Lot offers his two daughters to the mob surrounding his house, offers his two daughters in place of his guests for them to do as they please. this scene, the surrounded house at night, the demands and the intent of the men, the offer of Lot, is meant to show clearly the depravity of Sodom, the wickedness of the city, a society that has utterly rejected God, the ways of God, the commands of God. This scene is meant to shock. It's mean to repulse. It's a picture of the grave sin of Sodom. And just as the crowd is about to seize Lot and break the door down, the visitors pull Lot inside. And they strike the men outside with blindness. Now, this is not the usual Hebrew word for blindness. This is a word that can mean dazzle, suggesting that a bright flash of light caused the blindness. Well, now that they were safe from the mob, the visitors tell Lot that God's judgment was coming upon the city. Destruction for its wickedness, destruction for its perversity, destruction for its grave sin. And they told him to leave, to take his family and leave, to get out of Sodom, to get out quickly. Now, how would you react to such news? What would you do? Would you start texting family and friends? Would you start packing a bag? Would you ask some clarifying questions? Would you check the neighborhood group chat to see if other people that you know are leaving? What would you do? Well, Lot's son-in-laws thought it was a joke. Lot told them, and they thought he was just kidding. While Lot himself lingered, as the new day dawned, the angelic visitors once again told him to leave, to take his wife, to take his daughters and leave. But again, Lot lingered, Lot hesitated, Lot waited. Maybe he wasn't sure. Maybe he doubted their word. Maybe he didn't want to leave his home. Maybe he felt more secure in the city than he did outside of it. Either way, Lot hesitated. But God was merciful. The visitors grabbed Lot. They seized him by the hand. They seized his family by the hand and brought them out of the city, pulled them out of the city, saved them from the judgment to come, from the destruction to come. Because that same day, fire rained down from heaven upon that city. Well, centuries later, another heavenly visitor had come to another city. Only this was not an angel. This was the Son of God. This was God in person, God in the flesh, fully divine, fully human, both. Jesus. Jesus was sent by God, God the Father. Jesus was riding to Jerusalem. He was riding on a donkey. And as he approached the city, as he entered the city, unlike the angels in Sodom, Jesus was welcomed by more than one. In fact, a great crowd greeted Jesus, an energetic crowd, an excited crowd. They went before him and they followed after him. This crowd cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. They took off their cloaks and spread them on the road, offering Jesus a royal welcome. A carpet fit for a king entering his city. And as he approached, great cries went up before him, a great clamor, a great outcry. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest!" Hosanna, which means save, deliver. Or save us, we pray. Deliver us, we pray. The crowd was praying for salvation. And Jesus had come to answer that prayer. He had come to save. Only he had come to save not in the way that the crowd had wanted, not in the way that the crowd desired. They wanted salvation from the Romans. And the Romans were the occupying oppressive power of the land. But Jesus had not come to save his people from the Romans. He came to save from God's judgment on sin. For the fate of Sodom, the end of Sodom is the fate of all sinners. It's the end of all sinners, destruction, death, fire. And you don't have to be as wicked as Sodom. You don't have to be as depraved as Sodom. For that's what one sin deserves. One failure to love. Because that's how God designed you to live. That's how God desires you to live, in love, loving him and loving your neighbor as yourself. God desires you to live selfless. And when you're not, and when you don't, it's sin. And all it takes is one. All it takes is one failure to love. All it takes is one angry thought. It takes one mocking word, one hurtful act, one sin. One deserves judgment. One deserves destruction. One deserves death. And the hard truth is this: you can't save yourself from it. You can't escape Sodom on your own. You won't escape from Sodom on your own. Because either you're blind to it, blind like the men of Sodom that surrounded Lot's house, blind, you don't even see it, you don't even recognize it. Or you hear of it. A messenger has told you, you know about the judgment, you know about the coming judgment, but like Lot's nephews, you laugh it off. Think it's a joke. Or like Lot himself, you linger. You hesitate. You're not sure, or you really just don't want to leave. You have to be pulled out of Sodom. You need to be taken by the hand to be saved. And that's what Jesus has done. Through his death, through his crucifixion on the cross, Jesus took upon himself the judgment for sin. Jesus took upon himself destruction for sin. He took upon himself death for sin, and not just for one or four, but many. Countless down through the ages. You. He took your place. His death on the cross is like this. His death on the cross is like this. Jesus grabs you by the hand and he pulls you out of Sodom. He pulls you out of destruction, pulls you out of the fire, pulls you out of death, and he walks into it for you. This heavenly visitor riding on a donkey came to save. To answer the cries, the prayers of Hosanna, to grab you by the hand. This is God's love for you. And all you have to do is receive it by faith. Faith in him, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.